Please pray with me. Our dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that calls us to stand firm in the grace that you have given us in Christ Jesus. Dear Lord, we pray that in this hour you will fill us with your Spirit, that we might continue to grow in Christ and grow in faithfulness. We thank you that you are full of grace and forgiving love, and that you continue to work in us that we might finish the race. In Christ we pray. Amen. Over these weeks, I've been looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which you find in Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to read that just a minute as a reminder. Live by the Spirit, for you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Then a little bit later he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Today we're looking at faithfulness. And I wanted to begin with a video illustration. This is about 2 minutes long. It's a news report from ABC News that was about something that happened at the Boston Marathon last spring.
Finally tonight here, I always love covering the Boston Marathon as a reporter. So much heart. But this year, this moment, it's really quite something. Tonight, the incredible moment at the Boston Marathon, now seen by millions. Right near the finish line, that's 21-year-old runner A.J. Haradasi, struggling to finish.
You can do it!
His first time running the Boston Marathon. He's from Massachusetts, and he's been dreaming of running the marathon since he was a boy. A.J. crouching down, then standing, taking a step, and then falling back down. But the crowd encouraging him. Falling four times on his back when suddenly he sees another runner coming toward him, reaching out his hand. That runner, Aaron Beggs, helping AJ to his feet, the crowd cheering. And then watch this as AJ starts to fall again. Now another runner comes to help. Robson Oliveira, both men now holding AJ up, all three running arm in arm to the finish line. Watch the left side there, all three men, strangers until this moment, crossing the finish line together. And right here tonight.
Hey, David.
AJ, telling us he's doing well. He's grateful for those two men who saw him in need and helped him across the finish line.
Aaron reached his arms out. Robson supported me on the other side, and two strangers helped me up when they had no reason to do that. And I'm just truly grateful for all of it.
And joining us too.
Hi, David.
That first runner, Aaron, who stopped to help, celebrating the marathon victory for all three men, celebrating with his wife Ruth and young son Thomas, who's holding on to Dad's medal.
We're all on a journey together. We want to get to the finish line. We support each other. We all need help, and it's nice to be nice. You never know when it's going to be yourself.
So true. Boston strong, America strong, three strangers, and they're bond now for sure. Don't you love the Boston Marathon? I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
So do you have an idea why I wanted to show that as an illustration? I wonder, what's that guy up to? The apostle said, I'm going to get back to this in a minute, be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus. In the next chapter, the Paul says, I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. Now is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will reward to me on that day. I think it's a picture of faithfulness. Faithfulness for all the people involved. In the letter that we read this morning, Elliot was reading from 2 Timothy, and Paul was writing to a Timothy at a very tough time to be a Christian. Paul was in prison. Nero was the emperor, and he was beginning a persecution against Christians. It was a persecution that history tells us would eventually take Paul's life. And Paul's writing to Timothy from Rome out to Ephesus, which is in western Turkey. It was the capital of that Roman province of Asia, and Paul had spent considerable time there bringing the gospel, a couple of years. Some Christians there, though, had turned their back on Paul and on his message, and it looks like there's a pair of ringleaders that are stirring the pot, creating confusion in the church. And not too many years before this, as a result of Paul's faithful work in Ephesus, Luke writes in Acts chapter 19 that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. But now, not too many years later, everyone had deserted him, Paul said. And the church was under stress. How is he to be faithful? How is Paul and Timothy to be faithful? That's the question for today. How are we to be faithful? What is that faithfulness? What does it look like? And how can we grow in it? The society we live in has gone through amazing changes. We've lived through this period, you know, where postmodernism was on the rise and, you know, where people rejected the idea that there could be such a thing as objective truth. What you see and what you call truth is just your perspective, your point of view, the way you see things. I speak my truth, you speak yours. That's the way people talk in the world today. You're familiar with this? How do you remain faithful when there's so much turmoil, so many things changing, everything seems unstable? Or you're strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus. So we're going to look at this in two sections, and the first part has three parts, and the second part has three too. Well, God is faithful. That's a theme you see throughout the Bible. God is faithful. Though Israel, his people, were unfaithful, God showed himself to be completely reliable. In the book of Romans, Paul's commenting on that whole history of Israel and God with his people Israel, and he said, what if some were unfaithful? Does their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Though the people turned their back against God, against his ways, he still preserved remnants, those who did not bow the knee to Baal in the time of Elijah, or he still restored his people to the promised land after the exile. Jeremiah writes about this. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is faithful to his covenant promises. Again and again, he showed his steadfast love that never ceased to his people. And as Stuart Sachs writes, the pinnacle of faithfulness in the Bible is seen in Jesus Christ, who showed himself faithful to the Father. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in his house. That's from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Christ was faithful to the one appointed, who appointed him. And he's described in the book of Revelation as the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Christ is faithful. And this is the picture of faithfulness, why it's a work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Because God is faithful, and you can plant your feet on God's faithfulness. You can rest your life on Christ's faithfulness. Paul says, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong in grace. He He's urging Timothy on to be faithful. But the thing about grace is that it's most available when I'm weak. Like Paul said in Corinthians, when I am weak, then I am strong. To be strong in grace means that I'm honest about my needs, I'm honest about the struggles I have in life, and I've turned to the Lord Jesus for his strength, his forgiving grace, his power to see me through. When I'm strong in Christ, I'm strong in the grace that brings healing to my broken heart. When I'm strong in God's grace, I'm strong in the grace that releases me from the past sins that I've committed in his forgiveness and gives me a hope for the future. When I'm strong in the grace means God's picked me up and helped me finish the race. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let his faithfulness lift you up. His covenant faithfulness that stands by us day after day after day. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. So great is his faithfulness. The word faithfulness, as it's recorded in Galatians 5, where Paul's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, is the same root word as faith. It's really talking about keeping the faith. Continuing in the faith, being strong in faith. And we're strong in faith by being strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the heart of being faithful. Resting by faith in God who can pick you up. Timothy here is not summoned to be strong in himself. He's a timid young man. Paul's trying to encourage him to be strong and faithful. He's not saying, you know, buck up, get your act together. No, he says, let God's strength flow through you so that by his Spirit you can continue to be faithful. That's where faithfulness comes from. That's why it's a fruit of God's Spirit. It originates with God. God's faithful to his people. And by his Spirit, he gives us that power to receive his forgiveness and continue on in faith. We rest in God's faithful grace who carries us across the finish line. So how is faithfulness a fruit of God's Spirit within us? God is faithful. And by his Spirit, he enables us to stand in faith. But we also, secondly, reflect God's faithfulness as we follow Christ's footsteps. As I mentioned, that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. He's the faithful one. And God's goal for our life, for your life, for my life, is to change you and me more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what that spiritual fruit does in us. We start to show what Christ was like, and he was faithful. Now, we are children of God, the Apostle John writes, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. When Christ comes back, we'll be like Jesus. And that's the goal of our life. As Paul writes in Galatians 4, I'm in pain of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Christ formed in you. That's the goal of our life. And God, by his Spirit, fills us that we can rest in his grace and continue on in faith no matter what the challenge is. In the face of all sorts of adversity, in the midst of constant change. Jesus himself was faithful to the mission of God. He prayed to his Father. We read this in John 17, on the night in which he was betrayed. He prayed, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you sent me to do. Jesus finished the job. He was faithful to the end. He did what God sent him to do. Even when his followers betrayed him, even when his friends denied him, even when his enemies sought to destroy him, he was faithful, even to death. And we can walk in Christ's footsteps by the power of his Spirit, faithful even when things are against us, faithful to the end. A man said that before I was a Christian, my own reputation was first in my mind. I would do anything to make me look important, to make me look like I'm going to come out on top. But now that I'm a Christian, I have Jesus' affirmation. I have Jesus' love. I'm important to him. What other people say about me just isn't my number one driving force anymore. I want to please him. That's first. In other words, I want to be faithful. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to walk with him every step to the end. But I'm weak, and I need him to carry me through. So where have you seen God's faithfulness? I mean, you can take some time and look back and think about times that you've gone through where God supported you. Perhaps there was a person that he brought into your life that really helped you get through this. Or maybe there was a Bible promise that gave you special strength. God was being faithful to you. We thank God for that. So think about a time where God showed you his faithfulness. Maybe you can write down a word, sketch a picture, you know, on the inside cover of the bulletin, you could sketch a little picture there, or some reminder of that season where you have seen God walking with you, where you've sensed his kindness to you, where you've seen him showing you through a difficult period. Because he's faithful. And he, by his Spirit, enables us to be faithful, like Jesus. Well, what does it take to grow in this faithfulness? Each week I talk about a vision that you got to see it. You have to be able to understand, you know, not only just with your mind, but can with your heart be drawn into this vision of what faithfulness is. And then we have to intend to do it, not just say, oh, that's interesting. I guess I learned something new today. No, that we want to be that way. And then step into the means that which we calm our worries and do what he says. So a vision. You need to trust in God's strength. You need to see God's goodness. You must see that what life would like, excuse me, we need to see what life with God is like. And Paul provides us pictures of that. He's in motivating Timothy to be faithful by giving a picture of a soldier and an athlete and a farmer. He said, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. He's basically saying, don't forsake what God's called you to do. Be faithful. Rather, he doesn't get entangled in civilian affairs, but a soldier tries to please his commanding officer. The commanding officer needs soldiers that are ready to respond to his commands in battle. I've heard from folks, some of you, who've been in boot camp, and I've heard stories about how you've learned to follow orders. Your life as a soldier and the lives of your fellow soldiers depends on you being ready to respond to the commander's orders. Even when you feel weak and tired and you want to go home, you need to be focused, ready to follow orders, knowing that what the commander wants is important and good for the platoon and its mission. Soldiers don't expect a safe and comfortable home, not when they're on duty. They do things like live in tents, or they live in these large bunkhouses. Or they live in ships with about 2 feet of space that they can call their very own. And they know there's no going home until the battle is done. So they don't get involved in civilian affairs, Paul says. They stay focused on what they're called to do. Do you see this as a picture of faithfulness? I'm hoping that this, perhaps you were in the Navy or an Army or Air Force or something, or maybe even a Marine, and you've seen this at work. You know what faithfulness is in that context. Well, the apostle's pointing to this to say that our life is like that. We need to trust our leader, Jesus. We need to follow his direction for our life and not get involved in things that he's not calling us to do. We need to trust his guidance even when we're facing strong opposition. We need to follow his direction in life even when we're under attack. And how do you do that? Well, for a Christian, it's about being strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He empowers you for the battle. You are faithful by his strength. And when we fall, just like in the video, we let Christ help us finish the race. Does that give you a picture of what faithfulness is like? Paul points to the soldier. He also points to an athlete. We saw that video. I don't have a lot more to say, but that video shows us a picture of an athlete who finishes the race with the help of others. And the others are there to help the person who fell finish the race. Paul says in this letter, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. I've been faithful. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but to all who long for his appearing. If you were a wrestler or a runner in Paul's day, and you happened to win, they would give you a laurel wreath and put it on your head, a laurel wreath made, you know, branches from a laurel tree, and put it on your head like a crown. And to fight for that, Paul says, to win that crown, you had to fight fair. You know, if you bribed the judges, or today if you use some performance-enhancing medication, you'll have your crown taken from you. To win the prize, you got to trust the judge and you got to keep focused on what is fair. And that's our life. Like the soldier. It's really a similar illustration, isn't it? As a soldier had to follow the orders of the commander, athletes need to follow the rules of the game. We have a message to share. We have a life to show. We can't do it by deceitful practices. We can't do it by being bent on destroying someone else's reputation. We cannot do it by not caring about our fellow workers or their struggles that they're going through. We need to live and work by the book, as they say. Compete by the rules of God's law of love, knowing that God's the one who's keeping the score. He's the one that will give the crown. But how do we remain faithful? Like in the video, we fall. We all have sinned, and it continues to happen. So we are strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We let his grace, his love fill us to empower us to finish the race. Get a picture of faithfulness in here? Paul has one more. He says, I got another picture for you. This time it's a farmer. Some of you are. Many of you have been raised on a farm. You know about this. A farmer works very hard. Especially in the ancient world, you know, everything was done by hand. Long before they had seed drills and weed killers, they had to plow and plant and till and weed all by hand, or maybe with the help of some oxen. And they had to wait that long growing season, waiting patiently for the crop to grow, to give seed, continuing to till that soil, continuing to weed it, whether it was in good times or bad, whether it was the weather was favorable or not, whether there was weeds and insects or not. He tended his fields. And then when the harvest finally comes, he's the first to enjoy the fruit. The faithful farmer doesn't leave his crop to harvest itself. The book of Proverbs talks about this. That those who sleep through harvest, you know, they're going to go hungry. When we put the seed in the ground, we trust that the Lord will give the growth. And when the harvest comes, you receive the fruit of faithful work. It's our life. You got to tend to the way of following Jesus constantly. You're waiting for the harvest. You're waiting for God to bring the fruit. And John Stott suggests, and I think he's right, that there are two harvests here in mind that Paul has. One is that harvest of holiness, becoming more like Jesus, which is my focus today. And the other is a harvest of the gospel, you know, more people coming to know Jesus. We strive to become more like Christ and show the joy that we have and how we've grown. But bringing the gospel requires cultivating those personal contacts. It requires a lot of prayer where we tend to the garden of our heart or our life and our relationships. But oh, the joy when you see the harvest. The joy when you get to those places of peace. Or the joy of seeing someone turn to the Lord. That new life brings joy. It's the beginning of harvest. Can you see what he means? For a vision of being faithful, we work trusting that God is good, that his way brings life, and we follow his way of vitality, looking for his reward. And even when we fall, which we will, we rest in his grace, that he will bring about what he's promised, that he will carry us through. How can we grow in faithfulness? Have that vision. The apostle gives it to us. Look at what faithfulness looks like. Do you see it? And second, it means wanting it. I want to be faithful. Faithfulness is what I need. But faithfulness is what I want. You know, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, you'll be devoted to one, despise the other. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve both God and money. Jesus' challenge is to be faithful just to him. And, you know, when your financial treasure is shrinking, you know, it can catch you up short. It can trouble you. You lose sleep. You have to dig deeper in life because your problems that you're facing are not just financial, are they? We dig deeper in our problems because you see something in our relationships. There are some wise financial counselors who will point out to you that in dealing with wealth, it's people first, cash second. Jesus said, be faithful. Because no amount of money, no house, no car, no boat is going to bring you the ultimate happiness. What Jesus is pointing to is wanting the prize. The prize is life with Christ, now and forever. The prize is having God fill you with his Spirit to give you comfort and joy and peace. No wealth can fill the emptiness inside. Only Jesus and his kingdom can fill that. Do you want what he gives you by grace? That's how you grow in faithfulness. I'm going to fight for this prize. This is the prize I'm moving toward. That's what I want. Life with Christ, filled with his grace, now and forever. We grow in faithfulness when not only we see what it is, but we also want that kind of faithfulness. We want to be like Christ Jesus. And then, what does it take to grow in faithfulness? Well, we need to calm our hearts and to make sure that we make the most of every opportunity. One of the biggest enemies to growing in the Spirit is fear. Almost every week I'll talk about fear. Fear often blocks our way. Fear will say, you can't find rest until you can secure your financial future. So you need to work hard and push yourself, and then you get anxious about it, about losing that nest egg. And while financial security is important, and ultimately, though, the financial security is something that comes to us from God when we're a steward of the resources He gives us. But when we're afraid, it's very hard for us to picture what life could be like. It's very hard for us to see what it means to be faithful to Jesus first. So I have that tendency. I'll hold back. I'll play it safe. I won't take any risks. The Bible tells us that the perfect love of Jesus casts out fear. Christ's love casts out fear because He takes us back to the beginning. That is, everything you have is from God. We didn't deserve anything. God showers His love on us. His faithfulness is seen morning by morning. And He says, don't be afraid. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid. I'll be with you always unto the end. I'll be faithful. I'll be with you. Don't be afraid. We calm our fear to make the most of every opportunity. I'm talking a little bit about finances because we read that little piece of the parable of the talents. Eliot read from Matthew 25, just a verse, where the master replies, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This is the reward of faithfulness. Hearing the master say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The God who made you, the God who's renewing you in Christ Jesus, the God who gave His own Son for you, and the one who called you to this life and this time and this place, that God saying to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant," that's the reward. Jesus said, imagine that you own a manufacturing plant and you need to travel. And you give the oversight of your company, you know, the coordination of relations with your customers, the use of the company's assets. You give it to three key managers who work for you. And what do you expect them to do while you're gone? You've entrusted to them the conduct of your business. You expect them to keep building your business. And Jesus' parable shows how God entrusts us with time, abilities, talents. He entrusts us with His gospel. He wants us to extend the business of His kingdom. He wants us to live our life as stewards, using the resources He gives us for His purposes. He gives us opportunities. He opens doors in our life where we can show His kindness, His gentleness. He shows us ways that we can witness to His love and peace, maybe by our example, maybe by our words. He calls us to be a steward of what He's given you, and He calls you to be faithful. And when we fall on Jesus, because He can pick you up, and He will carry you through. So what challenge to being faithful do you confront? How can you step forward by God's help? I mean, maybe something that I said today stirred something inside of you. Maybe there's something you need to address or deal with about being faithful. Perhaps in marriage, perhaps in family, perhaps with friendships. Maybe there's someone at work. Maybe there's someone in the church. Maybe there's someone in our community. There's a place where you could be more faithful. Well, ask God for help. You see how He's the source of faithfulness, and by His Spirit, we can follow Him. And when we fall, we confess and let him pick us up that we might finish the race.